This is a Gathering History Project podcast recorded in the Louth County Museum in Dundalk, Ireland. Now, I'm delighted to welcome to the Gathering History Project 2013 a real Dundalk man, a real Dundalk name, and coming from a real Dundalk street. I'm absolutely delighted to welcome Ronnie Allen to the programme. Ronnie, you're very, very welcome.
Thank you very much, Dennis. It's truly my pleasure.
Now, Ronnie, I said there about a real Dundalk street, and I always thought where you come from was probably the best street in the town for everything beside you. And if you think the cinemas, the schools, the churches, the Garda station, the railway station, tell everybody where you came from.
I come from Mulholland Avenue, which everyone know, I presume you may know, is the opening of the Domain. And we have, had a wonderful, many talented people came from Mulholland Avenue, great footballers, etc. And possibly there was McArdles and Willie Coleman, who played for drums. And there were many others indeed. And we lived in the second last house.
Can I ask you, Ronnie, about Mulholland Avenue, the name? Where did the name Mulholland come from?
Well, it was called after a fellow called Tommy Mulholland, who originally lived in Kilcarely, and he worked in Bridge Street area with the Deary family. And he was shot by the Black and Tans. And the strange thing about it was that, although he was a Sinn Féin, but he was unarmed, and people said it was unjustified. But there is a plaque on the corner of John Street and Bridge Street to Tommy Mulholland. And, of course, this is where we got our name. Mulholland Avenue was called after him, you know. And surprising enough, he was buried from the Friary Chapel here, because there was confirmation going on in St. Patrick's. And the date was, I believe, 1920. And he's interred in Castletown Graveyard.
What age was he, Ronnie?
I'm in his late 20s, I believe. So he's quite a young man. And a very popular individual, from what I recollect, in what I'd heard as a young fellow, you know.
Do you know, Ronnie, it's great to hear this and all the different streets, and you've put me onto something now that I'm going to check all the streets in Dundalk that's named after somebody that we don't know. We know some of the streets, you know, but that's a great story, that, and thank you very much for giving us that.
There's many streets, Linen Hall Street, and there's another out in Lisdo that, I just don't recollect, but it's related to a friend of mine in America, one of the names, you know. But certainly is, and it's, I think it would be a good thing for you to do, and let the people know who have forgotten about why these streets were called after certain individuals, you know.
Yeah. Ronnie, when you were growing up, would you say that you had a very happy childhood? Would you have said you were poor, you were like everybody else, you hadn't a hell of a lot, but you did? Or how would you describe growing up?
Well, certainly happiness to some extent, you know. I don't recall any stressful periods. We weren't rich by any means, but we always look well. My father used to say it's important to keep the front door painted. So we always looked well, and my mother was a great provider, you know.
Where did your father work, Ronnie?
He was a barber in Frank's at the square, yeah.
Now, that's just beside the Queen's Hotel, if I remember.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Now, would that have been reckoned at those times a good job, Ronnie?
Well, it was good for him. he was able to provide for us, you know.
And would he cut people's hair, neighbours and stuff like that?
No. It was strictly he did, of course, visit some hospitals and those that were sick, but he wouldn't cut neighbours to do it. just under Frank's barbershop. Yeah.
Now, you were talking about people, you mentioned Willie Coleman, one of the best footballers ever to come out of Dundalk. And was football part of your life?
Oh, football was like our religion.
Ronnie, the soccer would have been, I suppose, one of the main things in that area.
Truly, although you had the Lawless family who were great loyal Gaelic Gaels followers and supporters, and I think Willie Lawless was very involved with the Gaels club, you know.
Yeah. Ronnie, did you go to, and what kind of dancing, or what was your pastime? I know what one you're going to say, a huge pastime, I know where it was, and you can tell us about that in a second, but dancing and stuff like that, did you do much of that?
Oh, I loved ballroom dancing, yes, and of course the place I loved best of all was the Old Market House, you know, it was an absolutely great floor, and the town hall, of course, was very good.
When you look, Ronnie, now and see that the demolishment of the Market House was probably one of the catastrophes of Dundalk.
Well, today when you look at the square, certainly it was something we grew up with, but it was never a well-designed building, even the front, you know. And certainly in order to give it a modern aspect, they would have to tear it down. And they did a wonderful job with the opening of the square now.
Do you like that?
Very much, you know. And I see the other day they had a wheelchair basketball, which was marvellous. They had a special floor down on it, you know.
It's very open for that type of
absolutely,
stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. And the day before there was a market there, so it was, yeah.
Ronnie, go back now to, you must, in the history of the Friary School, been the nearest to the school of any pupils ever, because you were just next door to the school. What was your memories of the Friary School?
Well, I just went there for, it was for the first, like, the babies and the first, probably the first grade, and after that I went to the Christian Brothers. So I truly was educated at the Christian Brothers. Yeah.
And were you true Irish at the Christian Brothers at that time?
Yeah. No, I was never a Gaelic speaker, but everything we did through the Christian Brothers was, with the exception of English and religion, was, and probably math, I'm not sure, but it was done through Gaelic, you know, so you certainly had a knowledge of Gaelic.
Did you consider, Ronnie, school hard?
Well, I guess it was, you know, but it never, it was something you had to do, so you had to accept it, you know.
Now, I have to, of course, a huge part of your life was the Red Cross. How did you get involved in the Red Cross?
I don't know, I just went down and volunteered, and it was a, I spent many years there and became the unit officer, and we were the first. It was the first time that Loud had ever won the President's Trophy, and I was the leader of the team that won it. Yeah, so that was a certainly a big thrill and a great honour, you know, to be presented with the trophies at Aras an Uachtaráin, you know.
When you look at the things, Ronnie, that there's so much bad publicity for young people these days and everything like that, and isn't it a pity that more kids don't take up things like the Order of Malta, Red Cross, and that type of pastime?
I think they should be encouraged to do that. They should be encouraged to play soccer and the games particularly, you know, and give them something to do. And last night we had a get-together after a mass of many of the soccer players that some I played with, but all of them I knew very well. They were mainly from St. Joseph's, but I played with Bendigo, but I was very closely associated with all of them, particularly Tony Doherty, who also played with Bendigo.
And I know I was at that last night, and it was a very warm, it was a special mass, and then over to the jockeys for a cup of tea afterwards, and it was a lovely warm evening, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, and of course Joe Martin was a star, he was... A great humorous conversation as a result of Joe. But it was great to see so many people that I haven't seen for so long.
Yeah. Where did you work, Ronnie, when you left school?
Well, I started in McLean's, which was on opposite the post office. It was a big store. And then I went to Keelan Brothers, which was further down the street, also at Draper's. And later on in life, I went to Paddy Matthews in Park Street. That was before I went to America.
Now, these were all clothes shops.
That is correct, yeah.
Now, what year are you talking about there that you started in the clothing business?
Well, heavens, I don't know.
No idea.
No, but...
Would you be talking about the 50s, middle 50s?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah.
Because just to let people know... Well, like
it was before that. It must have been in the early 40s, yeah.
Now, at that time, like, been working in a shop, which I did most of my life as well, and it was thought to be a good job, where it was a very clean job and everything like that, but it was never well paid, sure it wasn't.
Oh, not at all. And my grandmother said, why didn't you get a job in a grocery store so you could pick on something if you were hungry?
Now, when did you decide, Ronnie, to go to America?
It was in 1959. There was three of us, excuse me, that didn't go to America, but three of us were great friends. Tony Doherty, Tony Smith from the Laurels, and myself. And Tony Smith had decided to go to America in, I believe, possibly 57. But he had arranged and encouraged me to come out. So truly he arranged that I go out there.
What was the feeling in your house about you going to America? What age were you at that time?
Age, I was around about 30, yeah.
And was it a time that there was a lot of talking about going, Ronnie, or did you decide, no, I'm going?
Well, no doubt there was certainly a discussion about it, but I truly had only intended going for 2 years. And so that possibility was probably made it a little less final, you know. But after 2 years, I'd come home, but I decided to return to America. And my dad was, shortly before I left, and my dad was well, and my mother, of course, but my dad died shortly after I went, you know, which and. I didn't have enough money to come home. So
was that a sad time for you?
Yeah. So next time I come home, it was like Danny Boy, I found my dad in his grave, you know. Yeah.
And did you meet your wife out there or in Ireland, Elizabeth? Where did you meet her?
No, I met her through the Red Cross, as a matter of fact. We were... I was leading a team for competitions in Navan, and she was on the Dublin team, so that's where I met her. And we would communicate, and so eventually I came home and we got married, and she came out to us, you know.
So you were out in America before, and you were just communicating. Was that difficult?
Well, Elizabeth might say it was, but, you know, truly I would. You know, we've been married 50 years. We're celebrating our 50th anniversary. That's the reason I'm home.
Oh, congratulations.
So, irrespective of how the correspondence was, that it lasted.
What was it like? Did you have to encourage Elizabeth to go out to join you, or was she very keen in going there?
No, not at all. She knew that her husband was going out there, so no problem in that respect, you know.
Now, you went to what part of America, and what kind of a job did you get when you went out there?
Well, I went to Long Island in the Ice Slips area, and I got a job with the people who owns Macy's now, Federated Department Stores. It was A&S store at that time. I got down with them because that was what I knew best. So I remained with them for 35 years.
What was the difference between working in Matthews and Park Street and working in Macy's in America?
Well, it was NS in America, actually. But that was before Macy's took over. Matthews, well, it wasn't much different, truly, in reference to customers, because customer relation is all the same, irrespective of what, how huge the store is. But the departments were immense in respect to size and the different varieties and that type of thing, you know.
And what about, we mentioned a few minutes ago about money. Was there better money in the trade in America than there was in Dundalk?
Oh, of course, yes, yes, yeah, by all means, yeah.
Did you get involved, Ronnie, in the Irish community over there all through your time in America?
Almost immediately, yes. I got involved with the Hibernians, and then I started to run Irish festivals, Gaelic football, and I was a part of the Loud group, the Loud team at that time, and they would always come out to play for me. So I would, various counties every year would come out. And it was quite a big festival. We had pipe bands, Irish dancing. And it was a little later on and that the fascists started out there. But nevertheless, our festival, which lasted for 13 years, attracted big crowds, you know.
And did your love of Ireland and Dundalk wane at all over your years over there?
Oh yes, absolutely. I played soccer more than I did Irish dancing, but I loved ceilidh dancing and that type of thing, which I certainly encouraged over there. And I used to run a lot of Irish concerts. And Olivia Cahill had a great dancing team here, and she brought concerts over on two occasions, which I sponsored. In my area, that was, you know.
They were great concerts.
Was also in it, yeah.
Yeah, they were great concerts because they took the whole concert, dancers and musicians and everything.
Absolutely,
with them.
Absolutely, and Petey Logan, God rest him, was the tenor, yeah. So he was a good friend of mine. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Very good friend of mine too, and we'd like to mention Petey. Yeah. Died in 1988. Yeah, yeah, Lord have mercy. And Ronnie, you said you stayed in that shop for 35 years. Did you retire then?
Yeah, not particularly. I was that store, which was in the Babylon area. Mm. I was then transferred to our next county, which was Manhasset. It was a larger store in another area. And eventually into Manhattan, where they opened up a new store. Yeah, yeah.
Do you ever regret, Ronnie, which I do, spending your whole life in retail? Because I just found it, and I often say this, a waste of life, because you were just doing the same thing nearly every day. And I just found it, now looking back on it, I wouldn't recommend it to anybody.
Well, it certainly depends on the individual, but I truly never regret it, you know. It was something I had taken on to do, and I did it well. And I was rewarded well for it, you know. But other opportunities came along and I turned them down just to stay where I knew I was best at, you know.
Did you travel over and back regularly to Mulholland Avenue?
Possibly every 2 or 3 years we would make sure to return, yeah.
Was it something that you kind of, I know people like that are in America and in England and never really settled. They always had this thing in the back of their mind to come back to live in Dundalk. Did you ever get that?
Well, I have 6 children and they now have families. And so certainly, this is home from home, no doubt about it. I love to return, but ever to come back, I certainly would be letting them down. But I'd just love to come back and see my family and all my old friends that are still around.
What is the feeling, or have the much connection your children with Ireland?
Oh, they're very much Irish. And they love to come back and visit their cousins here. Now, they're Irish-American.
That's what they are, Irish American. I have just to make a little point here, and I'm going to make this as briefly as I can, that in 1979, I went out with the late Tommy Clark, who died recently too, and we went out with a play out there, and we had to we were looking for somebody to put up three people for about 10 days, I think it was, because the flight was full, that the whole group were going out. And I ended up out in America with this man from Mulholland Avenue, out in America, and that was the first time I was ever away with two kids anywhere. And we spent just over a week with you there, Ronnie. Have to say, and I was saying to your wife earlier on, the memories are vague with me about that time with you. I just haven't got a great memory. Can you remember?
Well, I do recall you being there.
That itself, Ronnie.
Yeah,
but it was. I think that we were waiting on the other crowd to come, and it was a kind.
I forget the connection. No, we were very, very happy to put you up, and you were certainly very nice people.
To say that, Eddie, Ronnie. Now, Ronnie, just the things like the gathering year, which is on this year. Would you be a supporter of that? And how do you feel with your friends out there that are Irish about the gathering year?
Well, I think it's wonderful. And the fact that it has brought business back to Ireland, and people of that would desire to come, or people that for some reason, for family reasons, decided to come back. And I'm happy that we're here during this period. And I have a choir, and we were considering coming back, but because of the cost, we just couldn't make it. But we were here in 1995. We were on tour of Ireland, and we sang in St. Patrick's Church here, which was a big thrill for me.
I don't remember that now. It is a church choir.
I know, but we do a lot of church work. As a matter of fact, we sang in the Vatican, and we sang in Notre Dame. We sang in churches in France, and also in Italy, excuse me. And we sang in Lourdes. But no, we're a concert choir, truly. And Frank Patterson had taken a great interest in it. He and I became great friends.
Wonderful man.
Oh, he was a great person. And Eileen as well, who's now living in Dublin. And I keep in touch with her regularly. Yeah, Frank and I were close. And for 13 years, I had a Christmas concert in my church in St. Patrick's, as it happens, in Bayshore, Long Island, where the acoustics is absolutely wonderful. And Frank used to love to sing there. And on the 13th year, he said, Ronnie, I've got a problem. I've got polyps above my nose, but they can't get it. They've got to come down through my skull to get it. And he said, I won't be able to sing in a Christmas concert. And as we were speaking, he said, Ronnie, that concert is so important to me. He said, I will wait till afterwards to have the surgery, which he did. So it's, truly, he never recovered after the surgery as he did, you know. He certainly was... I believe he did one concert in Boston afterwards, and Eileen said he held on to the piano, which was not like him, you know. That's well after the surgery. That was about his last. And the next time we sang with Frank, we sang in St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City when before his burial. At least he came over here to be buried, but he was awake now, you know.
Lovely story, lovely. Very well thought of in Dundalk. My memories of him is in the course in the town hall, and I remember him doing a concert one night in Backhouses, in the cellar in Backhouses.
My lord, in that extraordinary.
Alf Dwyer put a concert on, and he was very friendly with him, and he used to come down and do the odd concert there. Ronnie, when you come back to Dundalk, could you give me some idea of how you feel when you're arriving at the airport in Dublin and you're coming back to your hometown? Like, do you get a great feeling of love and everything for the time?
There's no doubt about it. Like the old poem of Ireland, isn't it grand you look? But, no, I do, certainly. I'm always thrilled to come home. And, of course, to see my family. those are still living, you know. And but my nieces and nephews, well, my brother Jared is still here. My sister May, who's in England, but comes home regularly, and May returned to retire here in Dundalk. And of course, all my nieces and nephews are very close for us and wonderful people, you know.
When you go down, you spent a good few years down on Clonbrassa Street. What's your feeling when you look at Clonbrassa Street now and see so many shops closed, and the most of the business now, which an awful lot of people complain about, is in the shopping centre now?
I think it is very sad, actually, to see so many beautiful stores, like Dairy is the most recent one, and Keelan Brothers, and many of the other lovely stores that I recall, and a thriving main street of Dundalk. And I said, if I'd been a politician, they would never have built that Marshes, because I think that has killed Dundalk. You know, but that's what they call progress, I guess. But not in my estimation.
Because I know, Ronnie, at the times that you walked down there, and when I walked down there way back, that of a Saturday you couldn't walk down Clonbrassa Street with business and open until 9 o'clock at night, and then rush over to the Adelphi to go to the Second House Pictures. But when you look at it now and see so few people on it, it is really sad, isn't it?
There is no doubt about it, but I guess the future generation will never experience what we experienced, you know. So they will never miss what we see or realize the changes that has taken place, you know.
Do you think that it's something they miss, what we had, the innocence and everything of our growing up?
Well, I would assume so. Not something that we're not to judge in that respect, but I would assume so. Certainly from my recollections of the things that we've experienced, that they will miss out on. But now, unfortunately, where I live in Bay Shore in Long Island, had a similar situation with shopping centres opening up. But the Chamber of Commerce got together and decided to bring professional people like back to Main Street, and also restaurants, which I see quite a few here. And that in time will bring even Dundalk back, you know.
Ronnie Kenny, thank you very much indeed for coming in and talking to me this morning.
My pleasure indeed. I feel it's an honour. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed, Ronnie Allen. Help us make history by visiting our website on www.gatheringhistory.com.